I want you to turn 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 3. I am going to go out of my normal, Chad, and you young preachers, my normal way of preaching, which is expository and textual. I'm not expository this morning, nor am I textual. I am topical. I am topical. So what that means is I'll go through a lot of scriptures and preach a topical message. I have something on my heart this morning. I believe it would change every person in this room if you take seriously what I'm preaching this morning. Not only the unsaved, but the saved alike. You know, I don't know what you're doing in your Christian life, what ministry you have. I do know this, God's moving this church. We had 5 saved and soul winning yesterday. 1 saved in front line. Last week, several saved in the food pantry. These are all extra ministry, Highway and Hedges. Hopefully we'll have folks saved. I want to encourage the captains and the bus people, do your best to get the kids out. Do your best. Because what I'm preaching this morning may be their only hope. And I want you to do your best getting them out and doing everything you can. If you're in 1 Samuel 20, say amen. Amen. Go and stand with me, and I won't be long this morning. I'm going to be very fervent, passionate, maybe not as loud, but definitely passionate. I'm going to read verse 3, but actually I only want you to pay attention to the last phrase. I want you to pay attention to all of it, obviously, but the last phrase is what I want you to let your mind dwell on. And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." That's Saul he's talking about. And he saith, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth," this in this statement, this is what I'm preaching, "there is but a step between me and death." Amen. There's just a step between me and death. Father, help this preacher to do the work of evangelist, to do the work of a pastor, to be passionate this morning, not superficial, not a sermon full of cliches, but a sermon of reality. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I would suggest to you that you would underline that passage of scripture and personalize it. See, death is only a last heartbeat away. Will all y'all do, will you do this for me? And I want you to do this. Try your best. Maybe you can't do it. I'm going to do it. Will you do this? Put your hand over your heart and press it till you can kind of feel a heartbeat. You got it yet? I just got it. That could have been your last one. I want to preach this morning on this subject. 5 seconds after death. 5 seconds when that last heartbeat. What's going to happen to you? 5 seconds after death. Because I pastored so long, I deal with death all the time. Are you still with me? Everyone in the room, what will happen to you 5 seconds? And we could say 1 second, but I'm just using 5. What will happen to you 5 seconds after you die? Many of you don't know this part of my life. Some of you do. But this is not the only church I pastored, but I definitely have preached it long, at it longer than any and most likely the last church I'll pastor. My first church was Leatherwood Baptist Church. You go to Elkview, you take a left, go toward Frame. You don't go up into Frame. You keep on going out there to a place called Leatherwood. Pastored there 3 years of my life. There was a couple came there with their three children. Only came once. Probably 35 years old. The kids weren't old, but it was a rough couple. And the kids were rough, Chad. They only come once, but I'll tell you what I did. Either I'll do this or there's somebody in the church will do this. We'll try to follow people up. So I went and when you only got 18, you want to get everybody you can. So I went out and visited them. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just going to be straight. They told me they didn't really, they only came to church that Sunday because of a friend. And they ain't going to church and they ain't about to get to church and they ain't ready to be saved. You can come in, but I ain't talking about that. That's what they said. And I'm a gentleman. I ain't gonna be ridiculous. I said, oh, thank you for even talking to me. And I said, at least can I pray for you? And I prayed for them. And I said, if I ever can do anything for you, let me do it. And I kind of forgot them. Well, they were driving up on Elk River Road. I can tell you just about it. It was between Elkview and Clendenin and that stretch and had a car wreck. And all five of them died. Now, I don't want you to know, I don't know where they're at, but most likely they're in hell. I never had anything grip this year. Understand, that's 44 years ago. Understand, I was only a man in my 20s, low 20s. It absolutely shocked me. 7 years later, I was down in North Carolina, right off of I-40, there at I-85, I-40, right around Greensboro, High Point, that area. And if I take time to think, I'll remember the church. I held a revival there. We had several people saved. Wonderful revival. Never forget. I was staying in the motel at the time. Never forget. There was a lady come on the last night, a very attractive lady, a kind lady, probably 40, 45 years old, not very old, member of the church, came up and shook my hand, said, that's one of the greatest weeks of revival I ever have. I want to thank you for preaching. I'm going to tell my pastor to have you back. I want to see you again next year or sometime. And boy, would you please come back. By the way, you write them down. When she left that church, I left and went to my motel. She left the church, told me the next morning, the preacher called me actually up in the morning, and she had left the church, got up on I-40. I do remember I-40, so it's right in that triangle. She got up on I-40, tractor and trailer, lost control. She wrecked, killed her instantly, didn't know what hit her. And she died and went in eternity. Both of these illustrations, one of them I know most likely is in heaven, the other most likely in hell. And I want all of you to know something. If all of us die in this room this morning, 5 seconds after we die, we're going to be somewhere. Someone said that every preacher ought to preach as a dying man to dying people. I'll tell you what we got. We have merchandised preaching and we have commercialized preaching to where it's so superficial and we have forgot people are dying and going to hell and people need Jesus and people need the Lord and there's a judgment day coming. You might say, I don't believe in hell. And you may even tell jokes about it. But one day you'll know. You know why you don't believe it? You know why you make jokes about it? Because the Bible says that you are blind, that God, the God of this world, had blinded the eyes of them that believe not. I really don't care what scholars say. I don't care what theologians say. I don't care what scientists say. Artists say, Hollywood say, statesmen say, politicians say, teachers say. They say maybe there's no hell. I don't care what they say. There is a hell. the word of God liveth and abideth forever. There is a hell. Men scoffed at Lot when he told them that God's going to burn the place down. And by the way, if you go down by the Dead Sea, there ain't no Sodom and Gomorrah there anymore. They scoffed at Daniel when he preached to Belshazzar and the handwriting come on the wall. Oh, they made fun of him. They were drinking in the cups. They were drunk as a bunch of dogs. But the handwriting came on the wall, and there will be a day the handwriting will come on the wall for all of us. You say you're not preaching a shouting sermon? No, no. And you might be in this room, you said, well, are there any scriptures in the Bible to talk about hell? Yes, 70 different texts in the New Testament. He said, should I take them literally or figuratively? I suggest you take them seriously. Again, let me ask you a question. You know, I don't have to tell you, you know. If you died today, 5 seconds after you die, where are you? You're in either or. So here's what I want to do. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you that are not ready. You're not saved. And I want to tell you what hell's going to be like. Can I? I know you said, you're not preaching like you always do. Man, you get loud and you get rambunctious. This ain't no loud sermon. This is solid, serious stuff. I may get loud in a minute, but I want to be honest with you. I'm dead serious right now. We're not out doing campaign. We're not out having food, Patrick. We're not out having highways and hedges. We're not out having front lines just to have nickels and noses. And we're doing it because we want people saved. That's my whole ministry, is keeping people out of hell. So let me methodically talk to you. First of all, if you happen to be one that died and 5 seconds later you'd be in hell, you'd be in a place of vow associations. Can I give you the roll call of hell? There is a roll call, Chad. Revelation 21:8 says this. The Bible says the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. And guess what headed the list? You say, oh, I'm not a drunk. I'm not a whoremonger. Look what headed the list. Fearful and unbelieving. By the way, I got to believe this, that you're a whoremonger and a drunk and everything else because you don't believe. If you ever get saved, you'll get changed. You ain't going to do that anymore. Good preaching, Reverend. I'll tell you who'll be there. You'll be there. Satan will be there. By the way, I don't want to be anywhere he is. Every demon spirit that oppresses you as a believer or an unbeliever will be there. The Bible said, for God spared not the angels that sinned. They'll be in hell. Whew. Look at me. And that'll happen 5 seconds after death. Not only that, can I just tell you a little more? You say you're trying to scare me. Listen, you watch a dumb bunch of dumb stuff. Listen, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to wake you up. Amen. The devil's got you blinded. Amen. It's a place of eternal darkness. They shall be cast in the outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place where they'll never see the sunshine. They'll never see the moon. They'll never see the twinkling of the stars. I remember when my dad had his accident and I spent 30 days at the hospital. I did the midnight shift. Midnight shift for me, I worked evenings. So the midnight shift, I asked my boss to let me work evenings and I went on midnights. Then I slept during the day. But Lois, my dad was in there dying. I thought, but he didn't die, but he later did just a few years later of the same problem. His head split open. And I want you to know something. You know when the worst time was? You people that's lost, but you know when the worst time is? It's always at the nighttime. But I tell you what, when I went there, I knew something. I knew that if I made it to 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, sun was coming up. You die and go to hell, you'll never see the sun, the moon, or the stars. And can you imagine being in a place of blackness forever? But that's not all. Hell's a place of separation, eternal. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, who shall be separated with an everlasting separation. Not annihilation, but separation. Whew. You'll be separated from everything's good. The person that invited you to church today, you'll never see them again if they're saved. You're not. The person that your mom and dad that's in heaven, you won't see them again. Your children that's in heaven, you won't see them again. And you'll never see God. You'll be eternally separated forever and ever. My wife here, yeah, stand. Stay there, man. That's the prettiest woman in Taze Valley. She's a wonderful person. I'd hate to think, I know one day we'll die, but I'd hate to think I wouldn't see her again. But I am, because I know she's saved. She knows I am. Ain't no guesses. What a bad thought to think I'll never see her again. Eternally separated. Let me go on. I must hasten. Hell's a place of memory. Oh, look at me. Please look at me. The Lord in Luke 16:15 said to that rich man, remember? Remember what? Remember? Let me tell you what you're going to remember. You're going to remember my sermon. You're going to remember that choir music. You're going to remember the invitation. You're going to remember having a chance to be saved. And for eternity, you'll remember John Smith preaching on 5 seconds after death. It'll be etched in your mind forever. Why you fall in a bottomless pit and burn forever and ever. Fifthly, it'll be a place of hopelessness. Boy, I want you to know something. My hope is built on nothing less save Jesus and his righteousness. But I hate to be if you're in hell, you're hopeless. Be a place of despair. You ever been in despair? You don't know despair till you go to hell. But lastly, on this part of the message, hell is a place of burning. Matthew 25:41 said, depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire. Now I'll ask you a question. Now let's quit joking. Look at me. Quit joking. And if you mess with me, I'll bring you forward. And I'll give one of the people that smoke cigarettes their lighter. How many of you want to come forward and let me take a lighter and you stick your hand in it for 5 minutes? Any volunteers? You know you wouldn't do that. You're not that ignorant. You wouldn't do it for 30 seconds. Yet, you'd take a chance on your eternity and go to a place of fire that's not for 5 minutes, that's forever. You know why you would? Because the devil's got you blind. And the devil has got a smoke screen on you. Because ain't no way you'd do that otherwise. What about you, preacher? What would happen to you if you died today in 5 seconds? I'm glad you asked. Because I'll leave this shell and immediately go into heaven. And I want to tell you what Luke 16 says. I'm not going alone. God's going to send a band of angels. And they're going to usher me out. I've been into some of the church people's home. And I've been there. And I didn't hear them audibly. But I kind of felt. I heard angels' wings. They came down and took your soul and spirit into glory. The absent from the body to be present with the Lord. To live is Christ. But to die is gain. Whoa. Gonna be different for me than you. Boy, I can't wait to hear the literally millions of people in God's choir singing a song the angels can't sing. I can't wait to see my daddy and my mommy and my brother and my friends and all my church members. But most of all, I can't wait to see Jesus. You go to hell? Oh, you'll go over my preaching today. You'll go over the prayers of this church. You'll go over the blood-stained cross of Calvary. You'll go over the Bible. You'll go over all the efforts of your friends. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that's not real. It's not a Bible story. Actually, it was a writer who wrote fictional stories that had some basis, and some he tried to bring out some truth. Not exactly the way it's going to happen, but I read such a story. It was he had a parable about heaven, and this is not exactly what it's going to be. But I read this, and it really. It brought something to me. So I thought I'd read it. I just thought I'd tell it to you. Because it has a lot of eternal truth to it. Here's what he said in his thing. He said he imagined heaven like this. And it won't be like this, I don't think. But I don't know. He imagined it like this. That you're going up to heaven. And you go up. And one man came up and he said this. I am a moral man. And the man behind the gate said, well, what's the password? And he said, honesty and decency. In this guy's parable, he said, depart from me. Then a religious man came up. And the man behind the gate said, who are you? He said, I'm a religious man. He said, what is the password? Church membership and baptism. Depart from me. I never knew you. Then a humanitarian come up. He said, who are you? He said, I'm a humanitarian. What's the password? Service, love, and duty. Depart from me. And then there was one that come up. And he was at the gate. He was at the gate. And the person behind the gate said, who are you? The person couldn't talk. He couldn't talk. He knew he was there, but he couldn't talk. He said, well, what's the password? He said, I brought nothing. I bought nothing. But all I can tell you is all I am clinging to is the old rugged cross. And he said to him, enter in to the joys of the Lord. It probably won't be like that. However, moral man, you're not going in without the blood. Religious man, you're not going in without the blood. Unless you have had a personal relationship with Christ, you are not going to heaven. Bow your head, nobody leaving. The one to be baptized, please go and get ready to be baptized. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. Please, please help. And let's try to be quiet as we can. Now I want to ask you. You died. You're dying right now. 5 seconds later, where are you going to be? How many, if I asked you, where you're going to be in 5 seconds if you died, know you'll be in heaven because of the cross? Raise your hand. Don't raise them if you don't know. Please don't. Thank you. How many people right now say, preacher, I could not raise my hand. But I don't want to be in hell 5 seconds after I die. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Why don't you raise your hand now and just say, but that, pray for me. Nobody's looking. I won't embarrass you. But I'm not going to heaven if I die. But I know I want to. Slip up your hand. Slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not saved. But I want to be. Raise your hand. How many here, you've been a church member, but you're not even sure you're saved, though you've been a church member? Slip up your hand if you're not sure. How many Christians are here and say, preacher, you really mean they'll be right in hell 5 seconds after that? Preacher, I haven't been working as hard for the Lord as I should. I haven't been faithful in my giving. I haven't been faithful in my soul winning. I have, you know, I want to do all this, but I never do the little things. Preacher, I got responsibility, but I'm not giving my all. It's just because I have forgot about people dying and going to hell, preacher. I needed this morning. How many Christians, how many workers needed this morning? Just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I want to be a better Christian. Pray for me. I want to be a better worker. Pray for my bus route. Pray for my Sunday school class. Pray for my water class. Pray for my frontline addiction class. Pray for the food pantry. Pray for the homeless man. Pray. I see all those hands. Let me ask you this. How many people in this room got somebody you know is going to hell? In your family or a friend, and you raise your hand and say, I'm concerned about them. I just wonder how many come around the altar and pray for them. Stand with me, our Father. I pray the lost person here will come and get saved. I pray, preacher, people be on the altar now, pouring your heart out for somebody. God God touch us in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for your family. Family day next week. How many's got somebody in your family lost? Come and pray for them.
A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right.
Understand a big crowd like this, some of you are nervous. I'd rather just walk up the aisle, but I know this is intimidating, but I don't want you to die and go to hell because this crowd's intimidating you. If you're in this room right now and you're not saved, you want to be saved, you like to have an idea of what to say to God. Listen to me, it ain't what you say, it's your faith. And if you really mean it and you want to be saved, I'll help you right now. Before you leave, everyone in the room not saved that wants to be saved, but you're intimidated by this coming before all these people, but you mean that you don't want to die and go to hell, you can trust Christ in your seat, then talk to us after service. Would you pray or say something like this? Dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sin. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. Thank you for saving me. Let's do it again. Dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sin. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. Thank you for saving me. If you just prayed that, you were intimidated by coming up here, but you're not intimidated enough not to tell me you just done it. If you just asked him to save you, will you raise your hand high? Anybody? Raise them high. I'm looking out. I don't think I see anybody. No, I do see somebody. Look at me. Look at me, would you? Did you ask Christ to save you? Huh? Did you just now? Hold man. Here how it is. That lady walked in church, not sure she's saved. Had a little bit of religious background, but no real change. I asked her just now based upon what she just prayed. Come here, honey. Where you at? Come up here. I want to make it public. She means it. She ought to make it public. Come up here. Let me ask you right now. You come in church not knowing for sure. Right now, if you died today, right now, 5 seconds later, where would you be?
Straight to heaven.
Thank you. Amen. Follow up in baptism. Now listen, I ain't playing. Somebody don't know they're saved. They need to know they're saved. And we can say, oh, they just backslid. They just this. Hold a minute. Somebody walked into church that don't know. And now they know. They saved. Y'all be seated. I'm about to run and squeal. Amen. Somebody shout. Somebody praise him. That woman ain't going to hell no more.
Amen.